Well, good morning to you once again, and we want to give thanks to God for another day. Give thanks to God for the good things that we've received in this past week. And we want to give thanks to God for his help and strength in all that we've been facing over these past weeks and months. Now, some may have particular stresses at this time which are unknown to anybody else. But let us come as a church family and just remind ourselves of all that we can know as Jesus Christ being our Saviour. What we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is look at one of the Gospels. In this case, we're going to look together at the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, of course, was a tax collector, and then Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. And what Matthew does is record the life of Jesus in the 28 chapters that we have in the New Testament. And what our aim is over the next few weeks is to present you Jesus. If you are a Christian and love Christ and are a follower of Christ, then my prayer will be that you'll learn to love him more as once again we have this great story, this great record of all that Jesus has done. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not a follower of Jesus, then may you be stirred to ask questions, to give some thought to who Jesus is. This is the one that claims to give life, and this is the one that claims to be the answer to death. And so Matthew's going to help us as he gives us the storyline of Jesus and records it in these chapters. But just before we read the section which is for us today, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 3, and that'll be from verses 1 to 17, and that's going to be read to us in a few moments. But before that happens, we're going to be led in prayer.
Good morning. As we come to God in prayer, I just want to read some verses from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Father God, we thank you that you know us. You know every single thing there is to know about us. And that you've had this wonderful plan for each of us from the very beginning. We thank you that you care for us and love us, and you provide for us. And we rejoice today in the knowledge that you have met our greatest need, the need of a Saviour. And so we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that precious gift of salvation, this wonderful knowledge of sins forgiven, and a glorious future to look forward to. Father, we thank you for your hand upon us over this past week, for looking after us, providing for us, and bringing us together on this Sunday to study your word, to give you praise and glory, and to worship you. And so, Father, we ask that you'll just bless us as we come to read your word and to have your scripture, your precious word, opened up to us this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding, and we would be equipped through the message this morning to serve you in the everyday. Every day that you give us breath, equipped to be able to live for you and to share with others the wonderful message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, and we're going to read together from Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 through to verse 17. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.
Well, I wonder what sort of leader you're looking for in the days that we are facing. Somebody with great wisdom, somebody with good communication skills, somebody that can unify, somebody with a clear message. Well, depending on your view of the present leadership and how they are doing, you may think they're doing well, you may think they are faltering or failing. All human leaders and leadership will have imperfections, they'll have bias and prejudice, and they'll have failings, and often won't live up to expectations. But what we can say, and we've noted it over these past few months, is that in these circumstances, people will look to its leader, whatever they might think about the leader, but they will look to him. In this gospel, Matthew wants to present us with Jesus, King Jesus. Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, the one leader that would come, who would exercise perfect wisdom, who would gather support, and would finally liberate the population from the oppression of a Roman master. The Messiah would lead them then to enjoy an unparalleled economic expansion, and there will be this self-determining ideal world. We are in charge, we are looking after ourselves, we're answerable to ourselves. That's what the people longed for and thought they would see in Messiah. Well, Matthew, in 28 chapters, wants to assert that the king they've been waiting for, the Messiah that they've been looking out for, has been with them. And people then, if Matthew is saying Messiah has been, people might be asking the question, well, where's his kingdom? Where's all the evidence that we would be looking for? And Matthew wants to answer those questions. Maybe it's not the way that they consider things, but it will become very clear that the Jesus that is being presented, the king that is being presented, is actually the one that is the answer to all of humanity and their needs. And so he's going to present the evidence that Jesus Christ, he is the only one, and he's the one that they need to follow. And 2,000 years later, the message is the same, and it's our theme for this morning. And the theme is this: come and follow this king. And so we're going to look at just three things in the course of this chapter that we've had read to us. And the first thing that we're going to notice in verses 1 to 6 is there's a call to repent before the king. If there's somebody important coming to your workplace, visiting our city, or stopping by in our community, then there will be a time to prepare for that person's visit. The joke, of course, used to go that the Queen thought the world smelt of fresh paint. Every time she was going somewhere, everything would get smartened up. Well, that was probably just a joke, but the point was that things would get prepared for the visit of the monarch, or anybody else for that matter. Even in our own homes, if we're expecting visitors, we might want to get things ready, get things prepared, make sure everything is in order so that the visitor, when they come, everything will be ready for him or her. King Jesus is coming. But as would be natural, a messenger is sent ahead to get everybody ready for it, to prepare for the king. And John the Baptist is that man. He's got a mission. His mission is to get this area ready for the coming king. He's got one job in life, and that's to tell people about Messiah. We know that he does a good job of that because Jesus himself will testify to the fact that John did his work and did it well. So who was John and what was he? Well, John the Baptist is then what we might call in the line of the prophets. So you have prophets in the Old Testament, prophets who are men that speak into events in their day, to tell the people, maybe God's coming in judgment, maybe God is coming in blessing. But the prophets were there to speak into those events in the moment that people were living in, but also pointing forward to something else. And John the Baptist is in line with those prophets. Some might be saying, well, who is John? Some people listening to him. Well, three things. Verse 4, he looks like a prophet. He's got some very distinctive dress. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. So his dress was very distinctive, even for his day. Somebody going about in camel hair probably wasn't the norm. And certainly eating locusts and wild honey, maybe there might have some dabbled into that too. But that seems to be his manner of life. It's kind of reminiscent of people in the Old Testament, like men called Elijah or Elisha. These are other people that spoke into a situation and gave a message of God. Men recognized in the community that would have a message from God. So he, that is John the Baptist, is dressed in this austere manner with little of the cultural norms of the day. And Jesus confronts the people. Well, what did you go out to see? Did you want to go out and see somebody dressed in fine clothes? Well, no. And he goes on to unpack what you went out to see was this prophet, the man sent from God. So first of all, he looks like a prophet. Secondly, in verse 2, he sounds like a prophet. Verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the prophets themselves in the Old Testament made way for great deliverance on many occasions and were pointing forward to the great deliverance that Messiah, that is King Jesus, would bring. So 700 years before Jesus came, there was a man called Isaiah who is speaking in his prophecy. He says, my righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, my arms will judge the peoples, the coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Sounds like a strange sort of text, but really it's pointing forward to a righteous one that is going to come and do his work. And that's who Jesus is. So the herald has one message. He must get it right. Can't afford to bring his own ideas. This is the king's message, and he needs a clear proclamation. What's the proclamation here? Well, look again at verse 2. It's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All that God is purposing, all that God is planning, all that God is ordering is near. It's among us. It's with us. And there's a call then to repent. What does repent mean? Well, repentance isn't just being sorry. We can be sorry for being caught out. We can be sorry in the hope of avoiding further punishment. I always tried to get my sorry in fairly early on as a child, hoping to avoid further punishment. It might have worked now and again, generally not. But really, I wasn't sorry for anything I'd done. It was merely just to avoid further punishment from parents. So all sorts of motivations around why we might say sorry. It might be, and it's often the case these days, or at least it sounds like it, that we're kind of forced into an apology. If it wasn't that the politician got caught out for sending that stupid tweet, or maybe some celebrity getting caught in something that they shouldn't have said, and then they make an apology. But sometimes you're left wondering, are they just apologizing because they've been caught? Well, here, repentance, being sorry, is something that's caused by a knowledge that we've offended somebody, and in this case, we've offended God. It's about our head, it's about our heart, and it's about our life. We're turned around from something. Repentance means to turn away from something and turn to something. We turn away from sin and we turn to God. And John is calling the people to repent. And this is the message that Jesus will bring, as we will see. He also calls people to repent. And so John and the message of Jesus for you and for me today is to repent. What of? Have I done anything wrong? Repent of sin. Repent actually that we're rebelling against God. We're going against God. He's the one that can forgive, and we need to come to him. But the third thing that we can say about John, not only does he look like a prophet, not only does he sound like a prophet, but we can say that he is a prophet. His one message was Jesus is coming. He's speaking into his day and ensuring the people are best prepared for everything that the Old Testament has been pointing towards. John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets, and he was the greatest of the prophets because he was the last one just before Jesus. It's not to say the rest of the prophets weren't important, they were, but he's the one immediately before Jesus. So the message of John the Baptist is the message of Jesus. And the call for you and me is to repent. It is to turn to him. It is to seek forgiveness, knowing that he's the one whom we can look to. In the words of John the Baptist, in another gospel, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, lots of people explain sin away and don't even recognize it, but you might be listening today knowing the enormity of wrongdoing, not just wrongdoing in our lives, things that we've messed up with, but beginning to understand that if God is such a holy God, then we can't even come into his presence. That is humanity's problem. But God's made a way. He's made it possible. And we can seek forgiveness. And John speaks into that. And he brings a message that King Jesus is going to be sharing. Because the second thing is in verses 7 to 12 in the passage. And that is, there's a call of mercy and judgment from the king. When the beginning of lockdown started, what is it, just over 3 months ago, there was a very clear message. It was stay at home. Now things are beginning to ease. The message needs a little bit more explanation in what is happening and when. There are certain things that have to be in place. There's the 2-meter rule. There's other things that we need to be more aware of as we come in contact with more people. So the message is just a little bit different. Well, Jesus had a message. It was a single one with two applications. There's a message of mercy in these verses, verse 12. It speaks about the wheat that will be gathered into the barn. But then it also speaks about the chaff that will be burned with unquenchable fire. So there's a message of mercy on the one hand, those that gathered into the barn, those are the one that he's keeping. The chaff is that rubbish, that dross that gets burned away, is of little value. Two groups of people, those that Christ will welcome in and those that will be put out. And so what I mean by a single message is that these two things, mercy and judgment, find answer in one person, in Christ, and in particular, his work on the cross when he died for you and for me. How we respond to what Jesus accomplished will then find its consequence in either us following him or dismissing him, either wheat or chaff. The Pharisees come to John the Baptist. They're well-respected religious leaders of his day. And John exposes their hypocrisy. He uses very strong language. And he does so because everything about the Pharisee is outward. It's got nothing to do with the change of the heart. They kept laws, they kept rules, and they were upright. And they seemed to be so acceptable within the community. But really, their hearts weren't changing. And an evidence of that would be in the future when they will come forcibly against Jesus time and time again. And maybe John is understanding. Here they are. They're here maybe out of curiosity. They're here maybe just to be on side with the popularity that John seems to be engendering. In any case, John calls them out. Jesus himself will later expose the Pharisees' religious living as merely a show. It's a pretense, as they claim a knowledge of God, but the reality is they don't have heart change. And that will be demonstrated most clearly in their unwillingness to listen to Jesus or accept him as the Son of God. They will show themselves to be chaff and come under judgment. And fire is the consistent image of judgment right throughout the Bible. Jesus is baptized to identify with the message of John the Baptist. He's then completing what John the Baptist has started. Repent. If you don't repent, there's going to be a very serious judgment. So John the Baptist is heralding a new era of deliverance, and Jesus is the one who's able to do that. And that will come, in him coming rather, will mean he will come with blessing, and he will come with judgment. And we speak of these two applications today. You see, God is rich in mercy, and we can know the gift of faith, and let us exercise our repentance of sin and turn to Jesus. Don't put that off. For there is the reality and the sober nature of judgment. It will be right and fair. And we have every opportunity to respond to all that God has done for us. Mercy and judgment. But the third thing is in verses 13 to 17, it's how the chapter ends. And we have the witness of heaven to the king. So some people might be saying, what right does Jesus have to say what he says or what he does? Who is he, Jesus, to tell me that I will be condemned to hell if I don't follow him and his teaching? Who is this man anyway? Somebody from 2,000 years ago. What's he got to say to me today? Well, what the rest of the passage tells us is that heaven is testifying to the fact of the one that Jesus is. We have here in these verses God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the equality of heaven, all identifying with the work and the message that Jesus is bringing and is going to accomplish. This one, this Messiah, this one that's being baptized, is the creator of the world. This one that's being baptized is no less than the Son of God. And that being the case, he has every right to call out our sin, to show our rebellious nature, excuse me, and to assert that he is the only way to God. Heaven still speaks today. And in the Bible, it says to you and me, listen to Jesus, take seriously his message, understand its importance. So I wonder, as we come to a conclusion this morning, are you asking questions about Jesus? What sort of leader are you looking for? Well, here is King Jesus. He's the one that meets all our needs, all our spiritual needs. Matthew says, come and follow the King. So what will you do today? This King that has the answer to life and the answer to death. The big elements that we face, we live and breathe with. Here's the King. King Jesus, the Messiah, 2,000 years ago, but relevant today because he answers the truths that matter for you and for me this morning. May you know help to give serious thought. Maybe begin asking further questions. Maybe if you have a Bible, then start looking and beginning to see, well, if Jesus is who he says he really is, then I must read about him. Well, stay with us as we explore and journey our way through Matthew, and maybe some of those deep questions that you're asking, by God's help, those things will be brought to your attention and answered in your heart and life, that you may know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. May God help you, and may God help me. As we come to a conclusion, I'm going to finish in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to hear that you are King Jesus that is speaking to us today. Be with us for the rest of this day. Watch over us in the week ahead. And help us to give our minds to all of those things that we need to seriously think about. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen.